good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Wakunja Hade is my Ho-Chunk name. It means distant thunder. And we talk about local and national Native news and events all over Turtle Island. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native Roots Trading Post, located at 700 Nicollet Mall in downtown Minneapolis, and we're on the first floor of the Dayton's building. We support Native American artists.
That's right, we do. And we have a lot going on here. We have Nancy Bolio on later, but I think in the same place we have Gina Peltier, so they're like probably two cars down from each other and going to be on our show.
That's awesome.
They could be sitting right next to each other, but they're doing their thing here, and we love having Gina on, sitting in and doing the news here. And it's news you don't hear anywhere else, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
So without further ado, you catch that, I speak French too. We're going to have Gina Peltier with the news. Welcome, Gina.
Hey, Buju, Wendy, and Robert. And I'm so excited. I love Nancy so much. She's so inspirational. I can't believe it. And I'm just excited to be here today. Buju, Gina Peltier, Indijinakash, Makadewa, Makwa, Indudum, Anishinaabe, Indunjidumbai, Mikinakwaji, Indiniwag. I am Gina Peltier. I am Black Bear Clan, and I am Anishinaabe from the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa. And, you know, speaking of Nancy, we are currently in Bemidji, Minnesota, attending the Huber Informational event. You know, it's hosted by Annie Humphrey. And I really, really love events like this because it gives communities a chance to actually learn what's going on and a chance to ask their questions. Dinner, it starts at 5:30 when dinner is served. And then there are presentations and speakers on the Toxic Huber Mill, a wood processing factory that will harvest wood within 100 miles of Cohasset, Minnesota, including wood out of the Chippewa National Forest, and will negatively impact all seven Chippewa tribes of northern Minnesota. This toxic wood processing plant will cause toxic rain, and it will also destroy two Migizi, bald eagle nests. A new study from the Journal of Science found that almost half of bald eagles and golden eagles in Arizona and 37 of their states suffered from chronic lead poisoning. The main way eagles consume lead is through their diet. Lead bullets and shot used in hunting game and varmints break apart on impact, and the carcasses are scavenged by birds of prey, who then ingest the lead. Experts say solutions are simple. Just use non-lead ammunition or remove gut piles and carcasses from the field. The Arizona Game and Fish Department has a program that in certain cases allows hunters to swap their lead ammo for free. Science study said the poisoning is suppressing bald eagle population by 4%, slowing the 10% growth seen over the past several years. Lead poisoning also can impair eagles' ability to fly. So let's use this information to educate others and stop this continued unnecessary devastation. We do need to defend the sacred. And yeah, speaking absolutely. Of defending the sacred, a St. Crow Chippewa elder celebrated their 101st birthday last month. Oh, my goodness. Jean Sangate was born in Ogama, Minnesota, and is now the oldest member of the St. Crow Chippewa tribe in Wisconsin. Jean keeps making sure the Ojibwe language isn't lost, and she continues to pass on tribal customs like beadworking and making moccasins to younger generations through community education classes. Jean's son likes to credit her longevity to her good sense of humor, her caring about people, being very close to her culture, and her being a spiritual, genuine person. I absolutely love hearing stories like this, and we really need to absorb all the info we can from our elders before it's too late. in Boston, Massachusetts yesterday, the 126th Boston Marathon was held. Over a dozen indigenous runners took part in the marathon. Indigenous runners have been participating in the marathon for over 100 years. And back in 1936 and 1939, Ellison Myers, known as Tarzan Brown, a direct descendant of the last acknowledged royal family of the Narragansett tribe of Rhode Island, won the marathon and then later qualified for the 1940 Olympics. And Patty Dillon, citizen of the Mi'kmaq tribe, was a three-time runner-up and made history in 1981 when she set the then American record of 2 hours, 27 minutes, and 51 seconds. The race is a 26.2-mile run. Wow, that's quite the accomplishments. I love hearing that.
Wow.
And then I have an update on Katma Newman's and Honor the Earth's Earth Day activities. Starting Wednesday, Katma Newman and Honor the Earth are asking you to join them at Katma Newman to boil maple sap. Dinner will be served, and there will be a social time welcoming water protectors who are in the area for in-person court hearings that they accumulated while defending the water against Line 3. Also on Wednesday, also on Wednesday, there are a lot of 420 events going on, and I will be attending one in Bemidji being held by the Happy 420 Shop, and I say our activism is everywhere nowadays. Yeah. Thursday, water protectors have their in-person court in Clearwater County, Bagley, Minnesota. There is a Flood the Courts event for these in-person hearings starting at 12:30 p.m., and we will gather, and then the court starts at 1 p.m. Later on Thursday, there is another Huber informational event being held in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, hosted by Annie from Humphrey. And then also in Bemidji on Thursday is a live music benefit for the Line 3 Legal Defense Fund starting at 5:30, where a fry bread taco meal will be served. Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. And then Friday, which is Earth Day, there is a Flood the Courts event for another water protector who has in-person court in Hubbard County in Park Rapids, Minnesota. That will start at 1 p.m. And then at Katma Newman, leaders are asking you to join them for a morning ceremony at Katma Newman. And then in the afternoon, Katma Newman is hosting an art building project for the parade that is going to be held in Pine Point, Minnesota on Saturday. I'm so grateful to Honor the Earth and Native Roots Radio and Katma Newman and even Red Lake Treaty Camp and Camp McGeezy for keeping up all the good fights and all the good awareness and just keeping, you know, up everything. It's inspiring. It really, really is. So please, you guys, get active, check out the events in your area, check out Honor the Earth and all the campaigns they have going on, and just get active. I mean, it's not that hard just to show up and stand there and take space. I mean, another event I would like to bring up is this Thursday in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The Minneapolis Institute of Art at 5:30, there is going to be an Indigenous Futures panel discussion. Join Indigenous artists like Chris Pappin, John Lianos, and Chulin Taha, who will be discussing their work relating to time, the spirit world, and indigeneity with moderator Andrea Carlson. And then before I let you go, guys, I just got to bring up one more event because I will be attending this one. It is close to where I live. In Fargo, North Dakota, there's going to be an Earth Day screening of Warrior Woman. It's a film about Madonna Thunderhawk and other AIM leaders who are active in fighting against the environmental devastation of the Dakota Access Pipeline. So I'm really excited because there's going to be a panel after the showing of that meeting with Madonna Thunderhawk and the filmmaker Elizabeth Castle. And again, that's going to be in Fargo, North Dakota at the Fargo Theater starting at 7 p.m. in Fargo. And I can see Nancy walking to her car right now. So I think that might be my cue. You guys, may the force be with you, water protectors, and have safe travels.
Yeah, we love Warrior Women and the old school OG Madonna Thunderhawk, and that's a great documentary. Also, great shout out. We talk about lead shots all the time. Wendy's been talking about it for 5 years. So
absolutely, just a small grain of rice-sized lead can kill a full-grown eagle.
Wow. We'll be right back with Nancy Bolio, Pini Gigi, Gina. We'll see you soon.
Lunch with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Things may be getting better, but COVID is still around. Stay healthy and up to date on your COVID vaccinations and boosters. Right now, everyone 5 and older is eligible to get a vaccination, while everyone 12 and up is eligible for their booster shot. Plus, you're eligible for a second booster if you're over 50 or received an initial booster dose at least 4 months ago. Getting boosted increases your protection against severe disease from COVID-19. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. I just want to say one thing. J. Selby's, we have that commercial that we go there after the show, and we are actually going there after the show today because it's their five-year anniversary.
Yeah. You know, and they started their restaurant the same time we started the radio show.
Yes,
so
that's
the irony of that. Hey, it's Tuesday, and one of the big warriors up in the deep north is Nancy Bolio, and we always get so much great feedback with having Nancy on. And there she is, Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350. Welcome, Nancy.
Bonjour. It's always an honor to hold this space every Tuesday night, and just I'm actually feeling good that people listen to the truth on this radio here, because I don't think they're going to really get it anywhere else. So, Robert, chimigwich to you for creating the space for us. And tonight I'm kind of hanging out with Miss Peltier and Honor the Earth in Bemidji. And I'm sure Gina gave you an update of what's going on tonight, the information session on the Huber Mill Frontier Project. And, Robert, the facts on this project are just overwhelming. 400,000 cords of wood per year within a 70 to 100-mile radius of the plant. That means Leech Lake is going to get hit hard. Our medicine and our animals, all that good stuff is affected. And obviously, we know that it violates treaty rights in Minnesota, and Governor Walz failed to consult with the tribes. And so, again, he goes against his own executive order 19-24. So we have a lot of work to do in the next you know, a few years, and remind Walz that treaties do matter. 180 to 300 logging trucks per day. So, you know, it's going to take a toll on our roads, and of course, taxpayers are going to also pay for that. And I'm wondering about the safety of our communities with all these truckers going on through, not just, you know, for missing murdered Indigenous women, but speeding and traffic accidents. We've seen Enbridge employees, you know, speed. We had our own little radar gun. We put vests on, and we kind of duped them, and then we'd slow them down, you know, just by being there. So we know they speed through, and it's just crazy how they, so many trucks in one day. They get a new railroad paid by Itasca County, again, the taxpayers' money, and it risks 300,000 acres of wild rice.
Wow.
That's our food that on the water, you know, and I encourage people to follow Honor the Earth and stay in tune what's going on with the Huberman Frontier Project, because it's the people, again, that will defend the treaties, the water, that really make a difference in what's going to happen in the future. So we call on people to step out of their comfort zones and come into these spaces. There's all kinds of love. I'll say that over and over again, Robert. This movement, you meet good people like Gina.
Right.
And you.
Right. I remember meeting you down downtown St. Paul, and you were leading a chant for Enbridge when they were doing, some kind of song and dance downtown St. Paul, and you were leading the way in a strong way. And that's why I think people that know you and have seen you work know the strength that you have, and the good thoughts and the good feelings and the good power you have speaking your truth for us that possibly don't know all the details. And so it's great to have you on here and talk about these details, and it's just very powerful.
Right. And, you know, Annie Humphrey, a big shout out to her, our sister from Leech Lake, is kind of leading the way on this movement here. And she just reminded us in the beginning of this hearing, our information hearing tonight, that it has to kind of be like, you know, our treaties. We got to make a stand like AIM did. Remember Alcatraz, she said, and she's right. I mean, we have to, you know, assert our rights and remind them, you know, we're still here and these treaties exist, and that we're not going to leave. And that was what was so beautiful about Camp Firelight on the Line 3 easement, was it wasn't a No Line 3 protest camp. It was a treaty encampment. And so I see, you know, the movement into the future as being treaty stands more than any type of resistance to a project. There are rights. No matter what project, it could be a pipeline, it could be a mine, any type of extractive industry, we have to make sure that, you know, we stand as a people and defend, you know, the sacred, and that is our right. Defending treaties is not a crime.
Yeah, that's a really good point about Alcatraz, and it was definitely, Alcatraz was a situation where we were, as Native Americans, were supposed to get all free land that the government didn't want anymore, and then they changed their mind and they had to take over Alcatraz for those many days. I believe that was 1968, but it was the beginning of Red Power, the American Indian Movement, and all those things that have really made us Natives over the years become proud of being Native American and standing up for what's right and what's good, and treaties which work both ways, as you always talk about, Nancy.
Right, and I actually been fortunate enough to present to non-Native groups last Thursday. I presented We Are All Treaty People to the League of Women Voters here in Minnesota, and just yesterday, Augsburg University. So we're out there, you know, we're always going to build awareness, and I know MIAC, the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council, has been having the discussion on treaty education in our school system here in Minnesota. So treaties is a powerful thing, and we have the right to assert those rights, and so that's why we're going to keep doing the good work that we do, and, you know, continue to build on healthy relationships based around our treaty obligations from Native to non-Native, because, again, their ancestors signed them with our ancestors, and they're very much alive today. So this Friday, Earth Day, we have called on our elected officials on the Bemidji City Council, the Beltrami County Commissioners, law enforcement, and community members to come together to pick up our community, because we see everywhere America now there's litter flying about because polymer, plastic, disposable lifestyles is ruining the landscape, and nobody's taking responsibility to it, even though, you know, we should be holding corporations with this polluted packaging. They're not taking no responsibility to it. We get stuck with it, but we're going to take pride. We're going to clean up our community, and we're going to make an ongoing schedule to continue to clean it up, because if we don't, MnDOT will shred it up when they plow the ditches and mow the grass, And then it gets blown into the wind, into the lakes, and tiny particles, and we can't allow that to happen.
Wow. And we're also, never even thought of that. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that's a cumulative effect. It's going to, I mean, honestly, we can't go rake the forest. We can't suck it out of the water, so we need to address those micro plastics that are flying because of people just merely doing their job, but nobody wants to clean up the garbage. So what we're going to do on Friday is build relationships with our elected officials and moving forward, who's going to take responsibility to cleaning up this mess. Maybe in the end, we're going to reach out to Walmart and Target and say, hey, you know, what are you all doing to change your packaging? Because if it does get blown in the woods, well, hopefully it'll be made out of hemp and it'll just biodegrade on its own. But until then, we got a big issue on our hand.
Well, and when I was young, we used to not have plastic bottles. We had glass bottles where we could return them and get 5 cents. And I know I would collect bottles and score some heavy candy at the store when I was young. But now it's all plastics and icky stuff, Wendy.
Yeah, a lot of it you can't even recycle. You know, I just got back from New York, and while I was there, none of the stores that I go into, any of the grocery stores, will give you a bag. And if they do give you a bag, it is paper, and you have to pay for it. So I have accumulated many, many bags that are reusable because I keep forgetting to bring one in, and then I have to buy one when I go to the store because I'm just not used to it. But we should do something like that here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, why is it when you go to Menards, they still have those nasty plastic bags? You know,
don't mention Menards. They're not a sponsor.
Or Walgreens or any of the stores, that grocery stores too, they still ask you if you want paper or plastic. You know, they should not even have the plastic bags.
Exactly.
Right. And you know, many of these corporations, they're so rich, there's no reason they can't afford to make the transition. It's about people like ourselves calling out this problem that we see. Even like, you know, Culver's, fast food. When we pick up the garbage over by the Target area here in my town, there's a lot of those little square numbers that they give you when you're waiting for your food that attach to your window. Well, those even get blown off. So we want to go talk to these places and say, what can you do collectively to help these efforts to help minimize the garbage that's blowing around? And so we got, you know, not just the pickup itself, but to reach out to these businesses to see what they can do to change their carbon footprints. And at the same time, Robert, what's most important is when we gather on Friday to clean up, we are going to meet with people that belong to different political parties that go to, might go to church. They might self-identify. But there's one thing in common. We all depend on this earth. This town belongs to all of us. And through all those differences, we're going to teach them how we as Native people show up in a good way to do the hard work. And we do that with peace. And this is how we're going to show you the way. So I'm looking forward to having those kind of relationships.
Well, Nancy, I know you got to get going here, but we want you for a half a segment next segment. Can you hold on just for a little bit and we'll let you go? I want to talk about the supreme law of the land some more. All right, good to hear. We'll be right back. You're listening to Nancy Bolio. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Children's Minnesota raises up children's health by raising the standards, hands, voices, the bar, the stakes, the questions, and the curtain on raising kids' health to the highest priority. With the most pediatric experts in the Upper Midwest, we're setting the stage because kids need us, all of us. So let's raise them up so every kid can reach their best health. Children's Minnesota, the kid experts.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hey Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, host of The Bradcast. We'll expose and make sense of all of our current political nightmares and more every weeknight at 7 on AM 950.
Seward Co-op is now offering convenient self-serve and prepackaged hot options and salad bars at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Breakfast items available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch served all day every Sunday. Their weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight cuisines from around the world. They offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options daily. 95% of the ingredients used are organic from small-scale, local community food producers whenever possible. More at seward.coop.
Hi, I'm Claire Ferreira, president and owner of Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Ever since my grandfather founded Standard over 90 years ago, word-of-mouth advertising and referrals from our customers have always been important. That's why, after serving over 500,000 customers, we're proud to have a 4.9-star average rating out of 5 on our online reviews. Check them out for yourself and find out more at standardheating.com. That's standardheating.com.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Rain and storms possible late tonight with a low of 40, then rain and storms expected on Wednesday with a high of 49.
Don't waste hours figuring out how to pick up and assemble your own grill. Leave it to the specialists at Warner Stellion. Choose from the hottest new grills. Then don't pay a penny more for professional assembly, delivery, or Holloway. Shop now at WarnerStellion.com.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here. We're going to have a short segment because Nancy has to get going here. But Nancy, I just wanted to mention we're Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350, MN 350, and she's up in the deep north doing the good work. I just wanted to mention a couple things, and one of them is you said Annie Humphrey is running getting the meeting together for this action. I just wanted to let everybody know that she's an unbelievable musician too. You should look up her stuff on YouTube and also her website, because she has been singing acoustically for quite a few years and is Native American, and support her art and her music too, right, Nance?
For sure, Robert. She is just beautiful in her own way. She's very courageous, and you can really connect to her because she has just a beautiful soul. And yeah, I appreciate her efforts, and I'm here to support, you know, what we need to do to help, you know, our sisters like her. And I also want to say a big team McWitch to all the warriors out there across Turtle Island that are in the same situation as we are here, you know, because it takes sacrifice and it takes commitment and it takes a whole lot of love to keep showing up. And I know there's a lot of Ogeechee Daws out there that are doing the same thing that we do here. And I extend my love to them and send them prayers.
Well, you know, Nancy, too, that's a really good thought, because, you know, we're in Wisconsin. We're live in Wisconsin, in Madison and in Milwaukee.
Chicago.
Yeah, and those people are going to be very soon dealing with Enbridge and Line 5.
Right, and you know, shortly after our Treaty Alliance gathering in Nativash, June 18th through the 21st, you know, that's another powerful thing we're working on here. I plan on hopefully heading that way if I'm not caught up here in the Huber Mill Frontier Project. And so, you know, I want to go extend support as well, because we know we have people coming this way into Line 3. And so, you know, the water runs, the air flows, it's all connected. So we should be there to help support our relatives along the way, because that's who we are.
Yeah, and not only support, too, which is huge, but I think you guys have some inside information that could help them, too. I'm just really excited because I think we mentioned this last week, that there was a hearing for Line 5 in Wisconsin, and all the tribes there in Wisconsin feel the same way we do here in Minnesota. They're totally against that. They're totally against the wolves. They're the wolf delisting and those things that Wendy's been talking about for years. So it's really good to see our neighbors to the east of us in that terrible football state of Wisconsin. Oh, just kidding. We just lost a whole bunch of listeners. Sorry about that. But it's good to see that the nations and the other nations are really like-minded, Nancy.
Right. And I think, you know, that's the beautiful thing coming out of the Treaty Alliance. We're actually going to be calling on some tribal nations from Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Canada, and we're going to come together and we're going to talk about, you know, how treaties are a tool, you know, an environmental tool to protect our waters and everything that is sacred. So we want to build that alliance and we want to come together because, you know, we've been saying no for so long and it's easier to take one tribe out at a time. But if we build an alliance and we stand strong together, it's just a more powerful movement. And I think it's something that we need to do moving into the future, because there's a whole lot of people that need to understand that they too are treaty people. And with the misconceptions out there, people think that treaties are only ours, or they gave us special privilege by giving us land, the rights to hunt, fish, travel, and gather, when indeed it's the other way around. We gave them privilege by signing treaty. We actually gave them sovereignty by signing treaties with them. So this country was founded on trust. It was supposed to be founded on friendship. It was supposed to be founded on that we leave it in a better way that we did. But obviously, they continue to disregard treaties. Not one has been honored. And so in reality, they are on stolen land, Robert. And if they don't like it, one, they give the land back, or two, they just all build another Mayflower and head on back.
Yep, definitely. That's saying it. So before we let you go, there's one thing I want you to, possibly to new listeners, just explain why treaties are important and that they're the supreme law of the land. If you could just do that to some of our new listeners before we let you go.
Right. Well, one, first thing we have to know, we existed before any treaty ever existed. We had treaties with other countries before the Europeans came here. We were a diplomatic people. We had our own way. We had our own way to decide, you know, what we needed to do for ourselves. So our self-determination, our sovereignty is inherent. It wasn't gained by signing treaties with the United States. They were ours collectively, individually. So, you know, we were here before this country existed. So this is why we signed those agreements, was protect our way of life, protect our inherent rights. They didn't give us rights. We just signed those treaties to protect those inherent rights. And so it is very critical that we step it up and say, treaties do matter. We're still here, and something different has to happen, because the continued assault in our communities and our homelands, we can't take much more. As we see with the Line 3, we know there's many frack outs, more than what Enbridge or the PCA was reporting, thanks to Ron Turney, you know, and the men that are out with him seeking that information. But now we have all these frack outs. We have aquifer breaches, more than they reported. Now we have the Huber Mill. We're under constant assault. And if we don't defend, you know what, Robert? It's going to be easier for them to keep doing this to us. So we have to step it up in a good way. And when we say we're going to do that in peace, that's what we're going to do. We're going to keep it in peace. And show them this is how it's done, and we are going to control the narrative. And that's what we did at Firelight for 8 days. We controlled the narrative, we maintained the sheriff's authority, and we held back the Northern Lights Task Force twice. We denied an eviction letter from Enbridge, and we decided how we were going to move out along with the help of the sheriff of Clearwater County, who understands what it takes to stand in treaty peacefully.
That's awesome. And then just give a quick update of what you're doing up there in the deep north today before we let you go.
Well, again, today we are at the Huber-Meal Frontier Project trying to get information and find ways we could support the opposition. My tribe, Leech Lake, has made a public opposition, and so we call on people to help support us if you can't be on the front line. I think if you go to Honor the Earth, you'll find a way you can financially donate to this movement. There's they have postcards and you know, to Governor Walz and to our tribal leaders to say this is wrong, don't do this. And that's to Walz and to our tribal leaders. We're asking them to step it up and say no to this.
Peeny Geegee, thank you so much, Nancy, for hanging in there just a few more minutes with us. We know you got to get going. We love two full segments with you, but we understand that you're in action right now. And again, thank you so much for stopping in each week.
All right. Well, let me switch for having me. Next week, we're going to talk about voting and informed voting decisions. Okay, Robert?
Sounds great. I'll write that down. Wow, Wendy, Nancy is just awesome. Thank you again, Nancy. Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350.
Yeah, absolutely. Boots on the ground, and she's there for all these actions, mm-hmm. and she really cares, you know, not only, you know, her work is her work, but she's so passionate about it, and she cares so much about the land and the animals and the treaties, and it's really important for her.
We just got to make sure she takes care of herself, because it is taxing, as you know, mm-hmm, Wendy. There is a lot of things going on up there in the deep north, and it's you got to keep your mental health and take care of yourself too. But it was really interesting. Before we get to your segment, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit more about the shot that Gina was talking about, if you don't mind. I know we've talked about that for years.
The lead shot. Yeah, it's really something else. And I have talked about it over and over again. We've even tried to do it with the Humane Society of the United States and tried to get a, you know, like an ordinance passed in Minnesota to ban lead shot, because it is so toxic. Right. I mean, there's a reason why they took lead out of gas. There's a reason why they took lead out of paint.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason why they take lead out of things, because it's toxic. But the NRA has a very big lobbying power, and they feel that if we got rid of the lead bullets, then we would get rid of hunting, and then we would get rid of, you know, this, that. So they won't let us budge, and they have very big, strong lobbying power in Washington, D.C., and that's why we can't. But we can ask individual hunters to bring in their lead bullets and trade them for free, and you could get other bullets to use, which are just as accurate, and you can use that. Because it's not only the targeted animal that gets killed. It's the non-targeted animals that are out there getting lead poisoning. And it's not only, you know, it's not only eagles and golden eagles and things. It's, you know, it's any other animal that's going to eat the leftover animal that they leave. And a lot of hunters will leave a gut pile there. Yeah. They don't take it back home. They just leave it there for scavengers. And all of those scavenger animals will get the lead and eat the lead. And here at the University of Minnesota Raptor Center, they talk about lead, you know, lead poisoning all the time with raptor birds, hawks, and all kinds of, you know, owls and eagles. And they get like a neurological type of disorder where they can't fly anymore. They can't think anymore. They can't even walk. And they really just slowly, you know, die, and it's really a horrible death. It's not.
It is.
It's not a good death. So
I like what our listener Kathleen put up there. Organic bullets should be the only way to go.
How about not kill any animals? That's right. That's what I would say.
Right.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, there's some listeners out there, and if you're not a hunter, you might know a hunter, and you can just talk to them about it. You know, it's we need to get lead, and the lead sinkers too that they use in fishing too is.
Do they still use lead sinkers?
Yes, they still use lead sinkers.
I mean, I haven't fished in years because you know why? Fish feel pain.
Yeah. So we could all make small changes, and like Nancy too, she was talking about all the plastic.
Oh my God.
It's just really the single-use containers and everything else. We just need to make lots of changes out there.
Hey, give us a little preview. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Up next, a sacred animal section with Wendy.
Yeah, I'm going to be talking about an animal that they thought was extinct and we haven't seen since 1944.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl!
You know, I almost forgot to put the pods up, so I'm glad I didn't, because that would have been like... They could watch us, you know, move our mouths and stuff, but not hear us. But,
I'm glad you put the pods up.
Hey, I want to introduce you, reintroduce you to the longest, you're the co-host, so you've been on as long as me, and you've probably been on more shows than I have, because I always have to skedaddle a couple times a month to do some of my other work.
Yeah.
And you've probably been on the show more than I have.
That's
now that I'm thinking about it.
Think about it, right? That is funny, yeah.
Well, I want to reintroduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she also has been on the show talking about our sacred animals from day one, so it's really a privilege, and I know I learn a lot, and we talk about that each time, but I learn a lot about the information you bring us. So again, Pini Gigi, and welcome.
Yeah, thanks everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega, Curtis. And Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. So as always, Curtis, thank you for the meaningful name. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. So that's really an honor that I get to do that. And I also get to talk about animals nearly almost every day here on the radio. So it's kind of fun. But I have an article here that I found, excuse me, and it is from MIC, M-I-C. MIC Menu, and it was just dated April 13th, and what's today, the 18th? But it's just a few days ago. It was written by A.J. Dellinger, and researchers claim to have sighted a bird that hasn't been seen since 1944. Isn't that exciting? If you ask the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the ivory-billed woodpecker is extinct. It's been more than half a century since anyone has seen the iconic animal, which was last officially spotted in 1944. Extensive searches through the swamplands and forests of the southern United States that it was once known to occupy have come up empty, which led to the declaration that the bird was gone forever. But not so fast. Despite being labeled as extinct, researchers from the National Aviary claim to have documented physical evidence that the bird is still alive in Louisiana. In a pre-printed search paper that has not yet been peer-reviewed, lead author Steve Latta and a number of other researchers laid out evidence that while the ivory-billed woodpecker may be reclusive, it has not been wiped out entirely. And if you're watching us on Facebook, you get to see that beautiful bird. And it is a woodpecker-like animal. I mean, if I saw that, I would think it is a woodpecker, but it's...
His nose is flat.
Really a beautiful bird. The paper, which includes a number of photos from remote cameras and drones that purport to show the woodpecker alive and well, is a result of 3 years of extensive searching. Researchers trekked their way through the wet woodlands of Louisiana, set up trail cameras, and kept their eyes on the region with drones. All of this was done in hopes of just getting a glimpse of the bird and document it for the first time since World War II. The mission appears to have been a success. More than a dozen photos, along with videos and audio clips that were submitted with the research paper, appear to identify the woodpecker. Its distinct markings include a unique red crest on their heads, makes it difficult to mistake it for any other bird. There are a number of reasons the ivory-billed woodpecker has been difficult to find and document, Latta, the director of conservation at the National Aviary, is that how you say it? Aviary?
Yeah.
And lead research on the project tells Mike. The bird's habitat is bottomland forest, which is not easily accessible. It is densely forested, swampy, and difficult to traverse. Latta notes that the birds tend to have wide home range, covering up to 4 miles in diameter, and tend to fly above the treetops, which makes them particularly difficult to spot. They're also a bit on the other on the shy side. But perhaps with good reason. They're notably wary around people, which may be an adaptation in response to human pressures, Latta explains. But the wariness may be the thing that has contributed to its survival. The ivory-billed woodpecker used to be a common sighting throughout the southeast United States, but they were pushed into smaller and smaller habitats as humans interfered with their existence. The bird became a prize for hunters who were after its beak. And much of its, livable habitat has been shrunken by deforestation. But we know that us humans are ruining for all the animals here on Earth. But the late 19th century, the population of the bird was already dwindling. And then in 1944, it seemingly was lost for good. The findings from Latta and other researchers would be a welcome development, as they would confirm that the ivory-billed woodpecker has managed to survive human intervention over after all these years. Still, the sightings don't speak to the overall health of the species itself. Latta says he would rather not speculate on the species' current population size, because they probably don't really know, but notes that its presence at the site that he and his team staked out makes it more likely that the bird is also surviving in other sites. Regardless of the numbers of the birds remaining, it is endangered, Latta said. We know that the species struggled for many decades, and that conserving it now is paramount. Having seen the bird myself and knowing now that the species survives, I feel an immense responsibility to protect it and, in turn, the diverse wildlife that rely on the habitat that it involves. So we really need to take care of these birds, as of other animals. I also, it's really funny, I was just kind of Googling around looking for some stuff, and article after article, I find 10 animals that were rediscovered after they were believed to be extinct. Then I found another that had 14 animals that were rediscovered after they were believed to be extinct. So I think that that's a good sign that these kind of animals, though, are so elusive. You know, they're just like hard to spot, and that their habitat is hard to go into and search. I know that the black rhino just died like last year, and it was the last of its kind. That really made me sad. But I'm hoping that maybe there's one hiding out somewhere, and that someday they may be able to, find some of these animals that they thought that were extinct. It just goes to show how, big the earth is, and that there's so many areas that we don't really know about, that we really need to rediscover.
I got to give you the applause for another great section.
And it is a beautiful bird, so I'm really happy to see that.
Well, Peeny Geegee, thank you again, Wendy. As always, amazing knowledge. And I know you prepare for the show like more than I do. So it's awesome. Really great information about our sacred animals, which are beings, which are our relatives.
Mm-hmm. We share the earth with. Yeah,
that's right. Mm-hmm. Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. I want to thank Gina for her update. I want to thank Nancy Bolio for her update every week. And Wendy, of course, thank you for co-hosting this and doing a segment, working overtime as usual. We are the seventh generation. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground, is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office.
Free Leonard Peltier, Stop Line 3.